Welcome to the Naturally Healthy Pets Podcast. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Naturally Healthy Pets Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Judy Morgan, and my guest today is Poppy Phillips. And we have an incredible topic today. And the title is Every Dog's Eyes Tell a Story, and It's Not What You Think. And actually, I think we should replace dogs with animals, being. I think we could use this for anything. So you will never look at your dog or pet, horse, whatever, the same after hearing from board-certified animal naturopath Poppy Phillips, my guest today. She is going to be speaking about animal iridology. The eyes are not only windows to the soul. Iridology, the study of the iris, offers insights to your pet's wellness. And I've heard of this, but I've never used it. So learning about the basics of iridology can empower pet guardians to know if our companions are needing some extra care in certain areas of their bodies, stress levels, help assess if the current nutritional protocol is working effectively, and help track diagnosed diseases. And she actually has an intro course on this, and we'll talk about that later on. But first of all, thank you for being my guest today, Poppy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Judy. I'm excited. And I caught your Chinese medicine iridology or iris reading out on your live one day. And I was like, look at that. That's so exciting. So, yeah.
So the iris is the colored part of the eye. So can you give us a little more history and how you got into this and, you know, why this?
I know, really, right? I thought it was a joke. And so I was going to Kingdom College of Natural Health. They have an animal naturopathic track and was studying animal homeopathy. And this came up as a short course, weekend course. And I thought it was a joke. I thought it was super woo-woo. And I was like, that is ridiculous. But I didn't know any animal iridologists. And I was originally an equine body worker, and I thought, well, no equine body workers do animal iridology. So I guess, you know, I'll pay the money and do the course and see how it plays out. I thought it was a little gimmicky, working in LA and stuff. Maybe those new agers would really, really love this. And so, halfway through the course, and it was only like a 2-day course, I was blown away. I was like, why aren't people doing this? Like, this is legit. And we've created a group now of veterinarians and pet professionals that are advancing iridology, the science of animal iridology. And so we actually have partnered with a company that does equine dissections. And we're taking iris photos and then dissecting the horse. And we'll probably rewrite the animal eye grid on this. I'm looking for somebody doing the dog and cats. So wow. If you know anybody that's doing active dissections, I would love to partner with them.
Very cool. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, other than the vet schools for anatomy class and that sort of thing. So, but that's pretty cool. In the notes, it says animal iridology enables the constitution of an animal to be assessed. What's that mean?
So the way I look at it is a lot of pet owners don't actually know what's going on in their animals. And so when they submit eyes, you can tell if this pet's super stressed out. Somebody, I had like an online challenge where we all like walked through animal iridology for a dog course, and people submitted eyes, and there was this one dog with like this very fibrous looking eye. And it turned out the dog was on Prozac. And so you can tell how stressed out, just itchy skin, erratic behavior, things like that from just reading the iris. So it's a very insightful tool. And the cool thing is the advancement of cell phones have brought iridology into the home. So it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it used to be originally hand drawn, like Howard Carter found iris, silver plates of irises in Tutankhamun's tomb. And wow. So it dates probably back to 5000 BC. But they used to be hand drawn. Then they, you know, somebody would a lot of equipment, photography equipment would either come to your house or you would bring your animal to an animal iridologist, which how many of those were there? Not very many. But now that we have cell phones, it is a pet friendly thing that you can do from the comfort of your own home. So it's really cool.
That is very cool. So does the eye color itself, like if you have a blue eye versus a hazel eye versus a brown eye, does that have, like, does that mean anything about a pet's personality, or is it changes in the iris that we're looking for?
It's so in human iridology, it does mean different constitutions regarding eye color. In animals, we have not dialed it down to that specific. So that's why we have this group of like pet parent researchers, I guess you would call them. And so, yeah, you can say maybe Australian Shepherds or Huskies and all those animals with maybe a bluer eye might be a little more over the top. just saying, but I haven't made
a nice way to put it,
but I haven't like grafted a correlation between blue eyes and brown eyes. And the weird thing is dogs don't have that much diversity in color, whereas cats have a lot of diversity. Cats might have like yellow eyes or green eyes or blue eyes. And so there's a lot we still need to learn about this. Yeah. So we're looking for fiber, texture, color, patterns, more than like eye color. And then also the parenting, like in the human iridology, like the mom, your genetic mother marks on one eye and your genetic father marks on the other eye. And we aren't seeing that with dogs, but I think because they're born in litters. So I'm not sure about that. And pre and post vaccines are very different eyes. Like I've not seen many pre-vaccine eyes on puppies because they don't open their eyes till they're 2 years old. I mean, 2 months old or 2 weeks. Oh my gosh. And so most of the puppy eyes are submitted to me after vaccines and they look horrible. The irises look like old dogs. And so it's hard to tell on the parenting. So if you're going to use it for genetic factors, it's probably best to look at the dam or the bitch and the stud and see if you want to breed to that for congenital issues.
Really?
Yeah.
That is quite interesting. So if we, for instance, had a pair of dogs that we wanted to put together, by looking at their iris, we might be able to say that wouldn't be a good match?
Possibly.
That's
I'm
cool.
encouraging now, you to help me with that.
So I'm not a breeder, so I don't have breeding animals.
So any of you breeders out there, I want you to help us on this.
This is very cool. So if somebody studied human iridology, does that translate over? Are we using those basic principles for our animals?
So the eye grid is not exactly the same. The work of Bernard Jensen, who's pretty much the father of USA iridology. He has extensive eye grids. Mercedes, who I learned from, Mercedes Colburn, studied under Bernard Jensen. And so you can probably use one of his human maps, but the front leg's in a little different area. And so there's certain things that might be a tiny bit different, but basically you might be able to pull that and go, oh, there's a mark here and here. And we mark it like a clock. So you go from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock and graph the iris like that.
And changes that you're seeing in certain areas correlate with certain areas of the body?
Yes, absolutely. And it may not be in the exact quadrant, but you could see and start pointing your veterinarian in that direction. I had a case the other day where this woman's dog was down for 2 weeks and she's in my membership. I go, send me the eyes, and the gallbladder was highlighted. I'm like, it's gallbladder and thyroid. I was like, also the thyroid. She's like, well, he's on thyroid med. So I'm like, okay, there you go. Have your thyroid rechecked and look at the gallbladder. And we did some stuff before or she could get to the vet, because there's sometimes a couple of weeks, if it's not an emergency, that you're waiting.
Yeah, no kidding.
Maybe
months.
Yeah. And so this is another asset to iridology, is if you can't get into your vet, you can look in the iris and go, oh, look, this area is congested. And so we started implementing a gallbladder cleanse on this dog. She finally got to the vet. They confirmed it. It was gallbladder. And the dog was already feeling better. The vet was like, keep doing what you're doing. It's working.
Well, there you go. What other kinds of things, like, can we tell about like heart disease or arthritis? I mean, kidney disease. What other things can we tell?
So a lot of people are like, well, I already knew that about my dog, but it's the invisible stuff that we want to look at, like chronic pancreatitis and liver congestion. So you want to make sure your detox pathways are clean and functioning. So if those detox pathways are getting congested, you'll see it in the iris, and then you can apply whatever you need to apply to open up those detox pathways to prevent a major, major crisis. So you can be proactive. You can also see if your protocol's working, if your GI tract's working. The beautiful thing about iridology is they've been preaching digestive GI tract pet health for years, or human health in the GI tract. So there's distinctive GI tract markers. You can see if it's toxic or if it's stressed by the darkness or the size of it. And so iridologists were ahead of the game on GI tract health. Gut health is wealth, right? So they have been preaching that for years, and now science has finally caught up to it. But it's super fun. And we're also seeing in horses specifically, neurologic disorders prior to the body manifestation. So we're seeing distinctive iris marks. We can alert the owner. A lot of times the owners are like, no, they're not neurologic. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. And I'm like, let's just start implementing some stuff. And they're like, wow, my animal's so much better. Or I'll suggest, go to your vet, suggest blood work. The vets are never really happy with that because there's no physical signs, or very, very low physical signs, like the horse is non-productive or maybe lame intermittently or something like that. And we're actually ahead. We're finding things on such low symptoms that the vets are like, oh, I would have never checked for that. But it's helping highlight
that is
areas.
So cool.
Yeah.
Now I'm wishing I had this when I was in practice. We need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. This is fascinating.
Ready to prepare meals for your dog at home with confidence? Why not learn from the best? Dr. Judy's course, Homemade Food for Dogs 101, is designed to help you feel comfortable making safe and balanced meals for your dog using fresh whole food ingredients. Understand your dog's nutritional requirements and take the guesswork out of home-prepared food. As a thank you to podcast listeners, use discount code PODCAST22 for 15% off Dr. Judy's course, Homemade Food for Dogs 101, at checkout at drjudyu.com.
Welcome back to the Naturally Healthy Pets podcast. My guest today is Poppy Phillips, and we are discussing iridology, which is fascinating. So it's basically studying the iris, or the colored parts of the eye of our animals, and it can also be done for people to look at health issues that are going on. So you're saying with the horses, but right before the break, that you can start seeing neurologic symptoms are even before the animal really, so we can kind of predict some of the future health issues that are going to be affecting them.
Absolutely. So I work on a ton of EPM horses. That has been kind of my passion. I had a horse years and years ago that was diagnosed with EPM, and UC Davis asked me to euthanize him. And I was like, nope, I'm taking him home. And they're like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And they're like, what are you going to do with him? I'm like, I'm going to fix him. So created a blend for that, fixed him. And then with this group that we have, and because I've suddenly worked on a lot of EPM horses, we just started taking tons of EPM eyes. And so there's some consistency. I would say 90% of all equine EPM eyes have distinctive marks in it. I've seen only like confirmed Lyme's eyes, but they're pretty consistent too. So
we've had both of those diseases in our horses, and actually managed. My daughter had one, and my heart horse had EPM as well. Probably had Lyme along the way as well. But the EPM, we both used medication for a short period of time. But really, the major impacts were made by alternative therapies that we used to treat their gut and treat their inflammation. So it can be a huge difference. For those who don't know, EPM is equine protozoal myelitis. So it's a protozoal infection, which is a parasite in the nervous system and in the spinal column. And it kind of really stinks. Bad news stuff. But, we had pretty successful outcomes with our guys. So, and I really think that using natural therapies was what really made it a difference for our guys. So do you need, so when you're looking at the iris, do you have to be an ophthalmologist? Do you need ophthalmologic equipment? Are you just looking with your eyes or magnifying glass? How are you looking at these?
Just your cell phone. So yeah, the cell phone often to take great eye photos, you can video or you can photograph, but you want additional light. Horses have these big, pretty glossy eyes. They're super easy to take pictures of. They're the biggest eyes on mammals of all animals. Dogs and cats, not so much. And the flash really annoys them. So you want to practice on other pets. You want to practice on people's pets and not your own that you want to document. So you get all your mishaps and fails behind you. Because once you start taking iris photos, your dog will probably be pretty annoyed with you. And every time you break out the camera, they'll be like, maybe not. So you want to get good at it. And you want to zoom in. When you crop your photos, you want to make sure to leave the tear duct because you don't know which eye it is. You won't know if the right eye or the left eye. And the right eye controls the right side of the body. The left eye controls the left side. So we have to know which eye. And there's distinctive marks in different in each eye, like the heart marks on one eye and the spleen marks on another eye. So there's just some differences. So you have to date it, put your animal's name on it, make sure the tear ducts are available, clean your screen, your lenses to get good eye quality and lots of lighting, but nothing in the background because you'll pick up like the trees and the barn door and things like that. So you need a blank space behind you.
Interesting. This is very cool. So we have in the notes that many patients have stress rings or cramp rings. What are those?
So how do I say this easily? You'll notice like these ropey lines on high anxiety cats and dogs. Horses mark maybe a little different. But on dogs and cats, it'll be like this deep, the more stressed out, the ropier and more protruding it will look in the iris. And so you can kind of tell if their nervous system in regards to emotional nervous system is jacked up. So there's different lines for the physical nervous system as well as the mental emotional nervous system. So you have to discern which nervous system we're dealing with, but the emotional nervous system comes about one third to middle of the eye. And it will mark kind of edgy, ropey. Cats are a little further out. Interesting. Cats are closer to the actual physical nervous system. And I see it a lot in cats, of course, right?
Well, studies show that 90% of indoor cats are highly stressed. So,
I didn't know that. That's so sad. And yeah. I don't blame them. I get that too.
Well, it is so not their natural environment, and they don't get to hunt and pounce and stalk and, you know, get their prey and climb trees and fall out of trees and do all the things that cats do. I mean, my outdoor cats they chase grasshoppers and just snag them out of the air and pounce on them. I mean, so my indoor cats do not get to do that.
Aww.
So are there any things you can't do with iridology?
That's a really good question. So you can't diagnose. you can only look at marks. So when my dog had that meningioma, I didn't know it was the meningioma marking until the surgery. And when we did the surgery, that mark went away, or there was just a tiny blip. So hindsight, I could see they didn't get all of it. So you can actually detect the rate of disease and growth like we did there. But pregnancy, you don't really see pregnancy in the eye. You can't tell the age in the eye. Not yet. I do think that, so in retina reading, now they do all these retina scans and they're seeing Alzheimer's and heart disease show up in retina readings. And I do feel like we'll be able to dial it down like that. But it's more of a insight type of thing. What else can't you tell? Think gender. You cannot tell gender in the iris.
So, for instance, if you're adopting a pet and you're like, oh, I'm going to have somebody look at the iris and tell me, you know, things that I might bump up against. When, if they've had past problems, like let's say they've had a history of pancreatitis, but it was healed or it's not an issue now, will it show up that there was a past problem? Or once, like with, if you have the surgery to remove the tumor or whatever the problem is, or if you're using medications that are taking care of whatever the problem is, then do you see that history there? Is there like a telltale scarring, or is it once it's healed, it's gone?
I love this question. So if it has done some damage, if there is residual damage, you should see a mark. Now, it might be a really, really faint mark, or it might be degenerative tissue, which might be a black mark on the eye. So it might be a very deep scarring. So if you see deep, dark marks, you may want to run. You may want to weigh your odds on this and go, am I up for the task of this? But if it's a fading mark, so marks that are fading are either coming or going, and it's hard to tell which direction. That's where you have to have like a communication with whoever might be fostering the dog. Are you noticing this stuff? Have you ever seen anything like this? And if they say no, it's probably coming. And
so, for instance, I adopted a Cocker Spaniel who had he was a stray, so nobody knew anything. But when I took him to the ophthalmologist, we learned a lot because he came with cataracts in both eyes and he was blind. And when the ophthalmologist looked at him, he said, okay, well, the one eye is completely blind because he has had glaucoma in these eyes at some point, which has now normalized. And the one eye is not going to be visual no matter what we do. The other one, we're going to take the cataract out. We should have some vision, which we got about, 1%. So it didn't seem worth it. But because he's got that, the cataract that we weren't able to remove, like the iris part of his eye is really narrow and shrunken down because everything's been fixated. Can you still read things in those? Or is that, there's just too much scarring and damage?
That's pretty tough. I have a dog with ketogenic KCS. I'm saying that wrong, I know. But so he does not mark so well and you can't see it very well. Oddly, I've done a SARDS dog and it had full marks, which I was blown away by because I assumed that there would be a blank slate. So sometimes you might have these big, beautiful eyes with no marks on them, and it can be really deceptive because they're on medication and those medications are blocking the pain receptors. So it's not marking on the iris, okay. But also you assume that blind dogs wouldn't mark, but the SARDS dog did. So on glaucoma, I'm not an ophthalmologist, but we have caught eye diseases on film where just recently we did a mare who had like this white mark and I thought it was a glare. And then I came back to reshoot her. She was positive EPM and they treated her. So they were like, can you reshoot that? And she had like an ulceration on her cornea. I was like, well, you need to get that looked at. So blind dogs might not. Dogs with cataracts, maybe not. Dogs with ocular disorders, I'm not sure. So it just depends on the case by case.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, my little old guy, he started out with dry eye. We treated him with meds and then diet, and he was great. And then he developed paralysis on the left side of his face, so he can't blink. So now he has pannus, which is a black film over the eye. I don't think we're going to see his irises no matter what we do. So, which is a shame, because I would love to see what's going on there. This is such a cool subject, and we're out of time. It always happens this way. So the good news is people can find out more about what you do. So her Facebook page to connect with Poppy is Holistic Animal Insights on Facebook. And then she has this 1-hour introductory course, which I may take because it's so cool. It's introanimaliridology.com. And I think that this is fascinating. And I think that even if we all can't become iridologists, it could be something that we could look at, and literally you could figure out how to get a good photo of your dog's eyes or your cat's eyes, do it monthly and look at them and see what changes are occurring. And then at least that may spark something where you go in and say, hey, I think there's something.
Absolutely. And I do one-on-one consultations. So if awesome. People want their irises read, not theirs, they're animals. And so I have not taken the human course, and I really, really want to, but just been too busy.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's just a few things going on in your life. Thank you, Poppy, very much. This has been eye opening, but I really appreciate your time and what you're doing for
right
the animals.
On. Thank you for having me, Dr. Judy. It's an honor. I love sharing this with everyone.
Thanks for listening to another great Naturally Healthy Pets episode. Be sure to check out the show notes for some helpful links. And if you enjoy the show, please be sure to follow and listen for free on your favorite podcast app. We value your feedback and would love to hear from you on how we're doing. Visit drjudymorgan.com for healthy product recommendations, comprehensive courses, upcoming events, and other fantastic resources. Until next time, keep giving your pet the vibrant life they deserve.
The purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. It is no substitute for professional care by a veterinarian, licensed nutritionist, or other qualified professional. You're encouraged to do your own research and should not rely on this information as professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Dr. Judy and her guests express their own views, experience, and conclusions. Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets neither endorses or opposes any particular view discussed here.